Well, good morning. If you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, please. And this morning I'm going to start in verse 13. But, you know, as we've been talking about discipleship, what discipleship is and what we are called to do as disciples, you know, in this passage, Jesus is really calling us to influence the world for his glory. In the opening from verses 1 through 13, what we call the Beatitudes, he's really shown us the nature of those who are going to be in heaven, in the kingdom. And by the nature, we're really set apart. We're made distinct from the world. That really makes us effective ambassadors of God, that we are different and that we're living in a different way. Now he's going to say, go out into the world, glorify me in your being and in your actions. And in verse 11, he says, this isn't going to be easy. If you look at verse 13, it says, you are the salt of the earth, but if salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all those who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Now, we've talked about salt before, but just to touch on it, we live in a world that is decaying. Nobody would argue that. It's filthy, it's foul, it's diseased. Salt is a preservative. It's an antiseptic. It's a cleansing agent. It acts as a seasoning, and it also makes you thirsty. If you think about if we live by the nature that's described in verses 1 through 13, people are going to see a different individual. They're going to see somebody. I think of seeing somebody who, no matter what comes their way, they're just at peace. They seem peaceful, and that causes a thirst in people. I don't know if you've ever had anybody come up to you or heard of stories of people coming up to somebody's going, I don't know what you've got, but I want it. It's that peace that just is portrayed, is lived out. When you think of salt, you don't see it do what it does, but you experience the impact of it, right? So you don't see it salting, the flavoring the food. You don't see it melting the ice, but you can see the little pockets of the ice. So you can see what salt does, the impact of it, but you don't actually see it doing what it's doing. So it's really a silent testimony. So in the beginning, Jesus says, there's a silent testimony that you will give just by the nature of who you are in Christ. Because we live in a decaying world, we also live in a dark world. And so this is where we're going to talk about the light. We are called to be light in that dark world. Light is visible. It reveals things, and it points the way to things. It can be directive. So we aren't called to simply be a subtle influence in the world, but we're called to be an influence that is seen, that is visible. In verse 16, it says, let your light shine before men in such a way they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. In other words, the world witnesses a godly life lived out, and it glorifies the Father as a result of that. Now, I'm not saying everybody in the world does. Those drawn, some are going to hate you. Scripture tells us that. But he is saying live in such a way that the people will glorify the Father in heaven. And it implies both a life and a message, both lived out and spoken. Okay? So if we look at being light in the world, clearly this is something that could take days, but I'm just going to talk about one aspect of it. If you truly want to be a disciple of Christ, then look for opportunities to shine in the world. In other words, look for opportunities to glorify Christ in your life. In other words, look for opportunities to share the gospel with those around you. Now, if you think about it, God brings people into our lives who need help. We were talking about it this morning in men's prayer. Who need help. They need hope. They're in need. And many times, not always, but many times, these people can look rather rough. We can be judgmental about them. You know, no wonder you're miserable. Look how you're living. You know, why don't you stop doing that? You know, and we forget about the fact that we once were living the same way and that we were rescued. And so in Titus chapter 3, in verse 3, it says, "For we were once foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice, in envy, hateful," so we were angry, "hating one another. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we had done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, being justified by His grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." See, you don't have to stand out on a street corner, on a street box, and yelling to people. I've heard, we were someplace the other day, I heard somebody with a bullhorn, you know, was preaching the gospel. I thought, praise the Lord. You don't have to do that, though. God brings people into our lives each and every day who need the hope, that need the peace. You may not know it, but sometimes you may know it. If we do forget where we've come from ourselves, we're not going to be as likely to share the Lord with them. But if we look at that person and instead of going, "What a mess," we go, "I can relate to that. I was like," maybe not the exact situation, "but I was like that before somebody introduced me to Christ, before He came into my life. And it's because of Him that I can live a more peaceful, a more tranquil, a more meaningful life. And you know what? I didn't do anything to deserve it. It just was God's graciousness in my life to bring that to me." So my challenge to us as disciples of Christ is to look back and look at my life and say, "Lord, where did I come from? What did You rescue me from?" And get back in touch with the gratitude of the salvation. See, some of us we've all been saved from different things, but the impact of having our lives transformed by Christ is something that we can relate to. And that's what we want to share with the people that are out there. We want to share the hope. We don't want to share with how great we are, you know, how I do this and I know all these verses, and man, if you were like me, your life would be great. Because that's just not true. So if we share the hope, we share the peace that we have with those around us, if we remember where we've come from, and we look for opportunities. Because if we're not looking for opportunities, we're going to miss the clue. Somebody will say two words in a sentence that you can just, that you hear and you go, "This person is looking for hope. I've got a story to tell. And the story isn't about me. The story is about the Lord and what He's done in my life," and share that. Father, we come before You, Lord, and we do thank You that You've rescued us, and we recognize that You've rescued all of us out of different situations, but the result is the same. Without You, we would be doomed. Lord, You came to us. You called us to You. We responded to that calling, and Lord, You've been sanctifying us all this time. You're causing us to look like the image of Your Son. Lord, this is something that we take seriously, and we appreciate the fact that You do love us despite who we are, despite how we are. You love us, and Lord, that's something that we want to share with the world, and may we do it in a way that brings honor and glory to Your name. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.